gentlemen, Kenneth Williams Cabaret. For the next 27 minutes, starting now, without hesitation, repetition, or deviation, but with interruption from star guests, you'll be in the company of Mr. Kenneth Williams.
Good evening and welcome to half an hour of radio razzmatazz presented by your own blue-eyed Bloomsbury bombshell, the lovely, the delectable, put him on the mantelpiece, Kenneth Williams. Yes, well, I'm not one
to blow my own trumpet. I am your natural foghorn anyway, and I have the flared nostrils to prove it. What a nose, eh? What a nose.
It's been variously referred to as retrousse, patrician, and wahooter. But when I've been sneezing, I'm not kidding, it's like an electric light bulb.
Well,
I mean, you can see me coming a mile off. They did tonight when I arrived here. They were shouting and screaming. I was besieged by fans. I had to remonstrate. I said, here, you two ladies can be heard halfway up the street. I said, this is a BBC show.
BBC show. People are trying to sleep.
And she said, well, you're the man for this show. It wants someone with guts and go and virility. And I said, yes, you're right. And I've got the guts and go, and I'm sure we can come to some arrangement. And here, with their own special arrangement of Sentimental Journey, is our group. Give them a warm hand. It is Cantabile.
Every rolling stone gets to feel alone when home sweet home is far away. I'm a rolling stone who's been so alone until today. Gonna take a sentimental journey.
Spend each time
I could afford,
like a child
in wild anticipation, long to hear that all aboard.
Seven,
that's the time we leave
at seven.
So yearning,
why did I decide
to roll?
Gotta take
a sentimental journey,
Cantabile. Well, there's a bit of class for you, eh? This show caters for your intelligentsia. You're detached as opposed to your semi, and your champagne as opposed to the milk stout. You're sophisticated as opposed to your actual idiot. All the acts in the show are vetted. And we needed a vet with one of them, I can tell you, because... No, this bloke, Biggs, he brought on what he called was a talking horse. Can you believe it? A talking horse? Can you believe it? He said, this horse will answer any questions put to it. And he said, now, for instance, what's the opposite of yay? And this horse went, nay. And then he said, what is the first letter of the alphabet? And the horse said, nay.
I said, wait a minute, let's see if he answers my question. And I said to it, now, of what city do they say, see it and die? And the horse went, nah, Florence. I realised straight away it was a con. And I said to this Biggs, go on, get out of here, gave him the boot. Goodbye, and he was out of there like a shot. I'd say goodbye, too. And I have to now, because it's time for you to say hello to Peter Goodright.
Oh, thank you very much indeed. You know, you won't believe this, but I was coming here on the bus, and there was a little chap... there was a little chap sitting next to me, and we got chatting, you know how you do. And I said to him, I said, who are you? I said, who are you? And he said, A.T. I said, oh, extraterrestrial. He said, no, Ernie Thompson. He said, I wonder if you can help me. I said, well, I will if I can, you know. He said, well, you see, it's like this. He said, this dinner time, I was coming out the house, and this geezer come up the garden path, see? And he said to me, he said, are you Ernie Thompson? And I said, yes. He said, well, I'm from Littlewoods. And I said, oh, I said, blimey, I said. Don't tell me I've won the pools. He said, no, we just nicked your wife for shoplifting.
The world's full of funny things, isn't it, right? Do you know, the other day there was a fire up in Piccadilly Circus, and one of the firemen was going up the ladder when his helmet fell off. Now, a typical Londoner was passing by at that very moment, and he saw that happen. And he thought to himself, oh, dearie, dearie, dearie.
He thought, that man is going to need that helmet.
So, being a good citizen, he picked up the helmet and went up the ladder after the fireman. Now, by this time, the fireman who got up to the top of the ladder, he was fighting the fire. And the passerby, finding the helmet a bit difficult to manage, put it on his head. So he got up the top of the ladder, and the passerby, to attract the fireman's attention, he pulled on his trouser leg. He said, excuse me. Excuse me. And the fireman said,
get off! Get off!
He said, I got to your helmet.
He said, I can't hear a word you're saying. Where are you from?
And the fellow said, Bombay.
He said, blimey, that was quick. They're not here from Victoria yet.
You know, isn't it funny how sometimes you just can't help overhearing what other people talk about, what they say? Here's a little selection of conversations overheard.
Oh, what a lovely colour that cow is.
Ah, it's a Jersey.
Oh, I thought it was its skin. Mavis, did you know it takes 3 sheep to make a sweater? Oh, really? I didn't even know they could knit.
I've examined you, Mr. Crowthorne, and I'm very sorry to have to tell you that you've only got 2 weeks to live.
Ah. Well, I'll have the last week in August and the first week in September.
Our church is looking for a treasurer.
Well, I thought you only had a new one only last month.
Ah, he's the one we're looking for.
Good morning. Have you got a sheep's head?
No, it's just the way I part my hair.
I've just come from cemetery, Charlie.
Oh, who's dead?
All of them.
I I didn't like it in Spain. I kept getting my bottom pinched.
Well, all girls get their bottom pinched in Spain.
With pliers.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been a very nice audience. Just before I go, I'll leave you with this thought. Never put off until tomorrow what you can do today. Just think, if you like it today, you can do it again tomorrow. Goodbye!
Thank you. Thank you, Peter Goodright. Oh, a very clever boy. He told me he got his original idea while watching a couple of porpoises sharing an umbrella in the Edgware Road during Quinquagesima. They were sheltering from a thunderstorm at the time. Well, inspiration comes to people in different ways. Archimedes found his in the bath. Benjamin Franklin flew a kite in a storm and discovered electricity. Sir Isaac Newton got smacked on the head with an apple and discovered slapstick. Brilliant act. Oh, the innovations are endless, aren't they? More recent inventions include a device which enables you to watch television in the drawing room while cooking the dinner in the kitchen. It's a fork with a 30-foot handle. Which brings me very cleverly to Handel's Largo, because he composed it. Yes, he did. He composed it naked on top of the Mendip Hills. Well, you see, his mind was going. He'd never been the same since the Largo was diluted with his water music. You see, all these great composers had to battle against tremendous adversity. Look at Tchaikovsky. Every time he said his name, someone said, bless you. And he never had a cold in his life, apart from the time he sat on this bare mountain trying to pinch ideas off Handel, who was a dab hand of the old philately. I can tell you. Ooh. Ah, here you ask. Yes, what's stamp collecting got to do with music? Well, I'll tell you. Nothing. It's just a whimsicality such as might be found at the top of the Mendip Hills. They were all up there, all these composers, whimsying about in search of inspiration. Beethoven was up there too. He was with his butler, who was fed up with the whole expedition and freezing to boot. He said, listen, Ludwig. He talked like that. He said, listen, Ludwig, I'm going. All this composing lark, he said, it's not me at all. It's all right for you. You're as deaf as a post. You can't hear yourself thumping out all this rubbish on the Joanna. But let's face it, Ducky, you're no Liberace. I like a bit of melody. I can't listen to any more of your stuff. I'm going. And Beethoven said, you can't leave me. I can't compose anything without you. You've been my inspiration. And he said, oh, Ludwig, I've been your inspiration. I can hardly believe that. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. It takes a bit of getting, doesn't it? It's awfully subtle, my stuff, you see. Of course, if Beethoven had been alive today, he'd have been writing songs for me, but he isn't, so instead, here's a number more suited to rambling Sid Rumpo, who'd introduce it thus. Well, hello, me dearios, and my song tonight is about a fabled horse, the Somerset Nog, so-called, because it's like a cross between a nag and a dog. It's half Suffolk Punch and half Dachshund. This Nog is a strange-looking creature. Its three irons are 18 foot long. Not pretty to look at, but the rhubarb in that part is one of the finest. And my song tells of a man who wanted to go to the great fair at Ganderpoke Bog. So he asked this farmer for a loan of his Nog so he can take all his friends with him. And it proceeds in this fashion. Clear my throat, you see. Reg pubes, lend me your great nog, rollop my fusset and griddle my nodes. For I want for to go down to Ganderpoke Bog. With Len Posset, Tim Screevy, the Reverend Phipps, Peggy Luke, Solly Levi, Ginger Epstein, Abel Stephen True, Fitzcotch Lil, Mrs. Catamode, Mess, Habit, Deep Fly, and Trust, Bot, Solicitors and Commissioners for Oaths, Father Fantagaster, Alice, David Ash, Jenny Rosencrantz, Barbara Woodhouse, Old Uncle Dick Francis and all, Old Uncle Dick Francis and all. So they all go on, except for Alice, who don't get on with no one, and off they go. But, sad to relate. The horse snaps in two and expires. But they do say, as how its ghost walks abroad in the two halves, and if you be passing Gander Poke Bog at midnight, they do say you can hear the two ghostly halves of the Nog singing in duet. Reg pubes, you lend your great nog, rollop me fusset and griddle my nose. And now my remains are in Ganderpoke Bog. With Len Posset, Tim Scree, the Reverend Phipps, Peg Leggy Luke, Sonny Levi, Ginger Epstein, Ever Tim Truth, Scotch Lil, Mrs. Catamar Mess, Happy Deep Side, Trust Box, and Sam Missions for Hours, Feather Round the Cost, the Alice, David Ash, Eddie Rose, and Francis Barbara Woodhouse, and Uncle Dick Francis, and all, old Uncle Dick Francis, and all. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that underwhelming reception. And now it's time for you to meet a real singer. Yes, it is. It's a warm hand, ladies and gentlemen, for Lois Lane.
Cigarette holder, which winks me over his shoulder, he digs me out cat that satin doll. Baby, shall we go out skipping? Careful, let me go. You're flipping. He speaks Latin. That satin doll, he's nobody's fool, so I'm playing it cool as can be. I'll give it a try, but I ain't for no guy catching me. Telephone numbers, well, you know, I'm doing my rumbas with you know. And that, my satin doll, yeah. Out catting, ah, that satin doll.
Lois Lane, lovely artist, takes you out of yourself, doesn't she? And I needed taken out of myself. I can tell you, I've been feeling a little one. Well, I have, and I saw this travel film, lovely scenery, and this voiceover said,
majestic palms shelter the holidaymakers. He sips his glass of eau de vie, while the young ones strum their washboards on the surfboards, see an ancient civilization shake hands with modern culture as a gnarled old goat herd tending his flock on the hillside road is run over by a continental Bentley. Yes, it is all happening. Life on the French Riviera is gay.
And I thought, oh, well, I'll have a basin pool, you know, of the gaiety. So I shot round. Yes, you've done it too. I shot round to this travel agent. She said, yes, I can do you 14 days, £100, party of six. I said, £100? That's marvellous. All in, she said, yes. All six of you in the same room. No, I don't fancy that. All that jostling for the basin. No, she said, it's the closeness that counts. We always say the closer the contact, the less of the cost. You'll love every minute of it, shaving together in the same mirror. I said, don't bother, Ducky. I went to my usual haunt, anyway, with Mrs. Clotworthy at Mon Repos, the front, Fringford. Yeah, she's very good. Marvellous there, £15 a night with use of cruet. Oh, very nice. She keeps a lovely table. Lovely table. And such repartee. I said to her, is this toad in the hole? She said, no, it's punched up the uter. Laugh. I thought I'd never start. So anyway, I must stop now because they're singling me to introduce for the closing number, Cantabile.
Country maid up to London had strayed, although with her nature it did not agree, which made her repent and so bitterly lament. I wish once again for the North Country, the oak and the ash and the bonny ivy tree, they flourish at home in my own country.
Oh, the oak and the ash, oh, the ivy tree.
She liked not the court nor the city resort, since there was no fancy for maids such as she. Their pomp and their pride I never can abide, because with my humour it does not agree.
The oak and the ash and the bonny ivy tree, they may flourish at home in my own country. The oak and the ash and the bonny ivy tree, they may flourish at home in my own country.
Each holiday,
the oak and the ash and the bonny ivy tree, they flourish at home in my own country. The oak and the ash and the bonny ivy tree, they flourish at home in my own country. The oak and the ash and the bonny ivy tree, they flourish at home in my own country.
Thank you, Cantabile. Well, it only remains for me to quote those lovely lines penned by Hartley Stackney Trinaid of Kick a Cod Cutlet for Cleethorpes Week and dedicated... No, shut your mouth. It's dedicated... No, shut up, it is. Dedicated to all senior citizens. When I was young, I'd woo a girl. I'd flatter her beauty and spoil her.
but now that I'm old and grey, I'll settle for any old boiler.
Kenneth Williams Cabaret starred Kenneth Williams. His guests were Cantabile, Lois Lane, and Peter Goodright. Music was by the Burt Rhodes Orchestra, the script was by Kenneth Williams, and the show was produced by Jonathan James Moore.